It is 7 minutes after the hour. Good morning, Bill Arnold here. You know, life goes along pretty well, and then all of a sudden something barges into your life and gets your attention in the biggest way possible. For Mark Moore, it was a stroke, and then not one but two, one of which left him in a coma for a month. And that was a real motivating factor for him to figure out what is absolutely significant in life, what is worth living for. And he's written a book called A Stroke of Faith. He is my guest on the studio line. Good morning, brother. How are you?
Good morning, Bill. I'm doing fine. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. I have to say, this stroke thing, and not only is it horrifically scary, but once you have one, there's a good chance you can have another. And in your case, you had a couple like in a month, right?
That is correct. The Saturday before Mother's Day in 2007, I suffered my first stroke, went to the hospital, and then the Monday after Mother's Day, while still in the hospital, I suffered my second stroke. And due to complications from the second stroke, they had to perform life-saving brain surgery. I ended up being in the hospital for 6 weeks in a medically induced coma.
Wow. So, Mark, you're speaking beautifully right now. Did you lose some of your ability to speak, or did you lose some ability to move, or what were some of the consequences of this?
Well, at the time, there were many deficits. I did, for a short period of time, lost the ability to talk, lost the ability to walk for a significant period of time, mm-hmm. and had to work hard to regain that. Had significant weaknesses on the left side, was unable to use my left arm, and a loss of peripheral vision on the left side as well.
Okay, Mark, you're the whole package. You're a successful business guy. You're a loving husband. You're an involved father. You love sports. And this comes along. What was life like for you back then? And then how did it change?
Yeah, life was pretty good back then. as you said, my partner and I had a very successful business that we were running. I was the chief operating officer and chief financial officer. And this is the second business we had done together, and we enjoyed that. And we also became very, very good friends. Family life was wonderful. My wife had two wonderful children, and we were enjoying that season in our life. And this came out of nowhere because mm-hmm. I was in relatively good health. I did not have high cholesterol, didn't have high blood pressure, didn't drink, didn't smoke, wasn't obese, and exercised.
Wow.
So this really came out of nowhere when it happened. It was a complete shock to me.
Mm-hmm. Mark, you talk about in your book, A Stroke of Faith. We've got a couple copies here, by the way, and if you'd like to get your hands on one of them, I would reach for the phone right now at 1-877-933-2484. We'll get you in a drawing for one. You had a pivotal encounter with God on the day you awoke from being in a coma for a month. Can you tell us about that?
Thank you again, Bill. And that's right. The day when I woke up, I tell you, after 6 weeks being in that medically induced coma, when I woke up, my wife came in to see me that morning and asked, what did I remember? And I remember telling her, well, I remember coming in here the day before Mother's Day, and I remember the doctor telling me that I had a mini stroke. I go, and I remember talking to you the day after Mother's Day. I go, and when I woke up this morning, I looked at the early morning news on the television station. I go, and Brenda, I heard the newscaster say, and this weekend will be Father's Day. I go, Brenda, I know there's about 5 or 6 weeks between Mother's Day and Father's Day. I go, have I really been in here for 5 or 6 weeks? And she told me, yes, you have.
Wow.
She goes, we had some complications. It wasn't a mini stroke. It was a full-blown stroke. And that second day, that Monday, you had another full-blown stroke. And due to complications, I had to perform life-saving brain surgery. Hmm. And I'm like, and I'll be honest with you, I sat there, and when you hear that news initially, Bill, I was telling someone a few weeks, it rocks you, right? Because I'm 46, I'm really kind of at the top of my professional career and my life, and it really rocked me. And funny story, but so my wife tells me this story, and she says, you were here for 6 weeks, but you're okay now. She goes, but I stay with you every night for 6 weeks because, I didn't leave. I slept on the in the chair and on the couch here in your room to make sure you was okay. And I'm looking at my wife, and I've known her since high school. We've been high school sweethearts, a wonderful person. And I look, I'm like, wow, that's so nice. And the funny thing about it, like within an hour, she goes, okay, well, it's about 6 o'clock now. I should be leaving now. I'll let you get some rest. And I thought to myself, well, that's a little strange. But what she was doing was she realized she had given me a lot of bad news, and I had to digest what she had given me. Mm-hmm. And she was absolutely right, because when she left that room, Bill, and everything had just hit me, right? I'm like, wow, I've had two strokes. I can't move. I'm lying in this hospital bed. And your counter, Bill, was as I sat there, out of nowhere, I remember as a young child growing up in New York City, our mother used to tell all of her kids that God only gives you what he knows you can handle. 1 Corinthians 10:13. It hit me at that moment. And, Bill, I had not thought about that for about 25 years.
Wow.
It was powerful that it came to me at that moment. And it helped me at that particular moment, no doubt about it, because I was being overwhelmed with everything that was going on in my life.
Mark, unbeknownst to you, I just submitted your wife's name for Wife of the Century. And I'm guessing she's going to win that award.
I will tell her that.
Okay, good. We're just going to take a break in about a minute, but I want to hear some of the more difficult parts of your recovery, you know, especially when it comes to just like little everyday tasks, because you're a competent guy that gets things done. Now, all of a sudden, there are little obstacles to facing everyday tasks. What were they?
Yeah, actually, you're right. It was very, you know, once you come out of the stroke, the simple day tasks such as, you know, really getting in the shower, balancing when you get in the shower, taking a shower at night, brushing your teeth, you know, using your left hand to put on your belt, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, all these things that you just take for granted in life, all of a sudden, you know, you realize they really are challenges, right? I was telling someone, you know, putting on underarm deodorant, right? Combing your hair, reaching for a cup of coffee, the ability to write checks, all these things really come a challenge when you, after initially having a stroke, and you have to work to recover those skills, and you can, but you have to work at it.
Wow. All right. When we come back, Mark, I want to ask about some of the things that you learned about recovery and about surrendering and how your relationship with God has changed after your strokes. It's 15 minutes after the hour. Stay tuned. Lots more with Mark Moore. His book, A Stroke of Faith. Get in on the drawing. We got a couple books, 1-877-933-2484. Or if you have a question for Mark, give us a call as well. Be back in a minute. Seventeen minutes after the hour. Good morning. Bill Arnold here. I'm talking to Mark Moore. Mark's written a book called A Stroke of Faith. And Mark, as I'm looking at some of your resume, as we say, you are a hitter, my friend. You were a chief financial officer of a company. You raised over $500 million in total capital, including $100 million in private equity. You are a man of persuasion. You got game, as we say. Now, all of a sudden, Mr. Stroke comes along, and you have to figure out a way to find out what's significant in life and learn how to surrender everything to God, don't you?
Absolutely. One of the things that I found, and thank you very much for all the wonderful comments, and everything that I've done, obviously God has given me the ability to do. And what having the stroke drove home was, as I went through the recovery, I had to relinquish control. And Bill, that's what I found was the biggest thing. All the things that I had done during my career, which has helped to be successful, which was controlling the process, in terms of recovering from the stroke, I really had to surrender and give control to God. And that was when the recovery completely turned around. And I was able to afford a complete recovery.
Mark, how did this affect your wife and your two kids? I mean, when dad's not the dad they're used to or the husband they're used to, it's kind of scary.
It was a little scary. At the first stroke, that first stroke, I was with my son who was 15 at the time, and I think it was difficult for him to see his dad going through that because I was going to help coach baseball practice at the time. When I came down with the symptoms, and I think it was a little scary for him initially, but it ended up being wonderful in terms of because my family treated my stroke as if it was our stroke. It wasn't just our dad and my husband had a stroke. It was our family had a stroke, and they made themselves a part of the process. And I will tell you, Bill, that absolutely helped as I went through this process. I tell people, I read a book many years ago written by John Wooden, the legendary UCLA basketball coach, And he had talked in the book that when you go through difficult periods, trials and tribulations in life, we need to lean on our three S, our faith, our family, and our friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I can absolutely tell you, when I went through this process, I remember that book, and I said to myself, wow, you know, that's, I never thought I would have to utilize that advice. But it actually came in that point, turning to my faith, absolutely got me through this, and my family, they were absolutely wonderful by simply making the stroke a family stroke. It wasn't just my stroke, it was our stroke.
Yeah, that's amazing. Now, you wrote in A Stroke of Faith, your book, that you have about six key insights that really helped you through this recovery journey. Can you give us a little tease on those?
Sure. And I certainly won't try to go through all of those.
Sure, just a tease.
As I went through it, I looked at the word stroke, STROKE, and said to myself, you know what? What could that word actually mean? In terms of as I go through my recovery. So I try to look at each letter and say, what can I tell other people to help them in that process? So when I looked at the word S, I thought, really, the S really could be about starting over. And when you have a stroke, it really is about starting over. You know, Bill, you mentioned earlier in this phone conversation all the things you have to relearn, you know, mm-hmm. such as, you know, balancing in the shower and brushing mm-hmm. your teeth and putting on undown deodorant and you know, picking up a cup of coffee with your left hand, you know. And those are things when you're at, for me at the time, I was 46, they're very difficult things to grasp to realize that, man, I got to start learning these things over again. And because you're like, look, I'm 46. I shouldn't have to learn this stuff over again. But it really is starting over again. And I think people who are stroke survivors and family members, you know, who are supporting someone who's had a stroke, I think it's helpful to understand that starting over is important. The other thing I would say is, you know, the T stands for setting a target. R, I said, really is about receiving, and that is being open and to receive help from others. When we talked about, I talked about family and friends. It's that receive is very, very important. We must be willing to receive help from others, and that can be a difficult thing.
Mark, can I stop you for a minute? Can I add something to this? Okay, I don't want to make your stroke about me, but let's say I'm your friend and I want to help you. How could I have best helped you during this time? Because I think that's a question a lot of us have. Ooh, my friend's in trouble. Yeah. What can I do? What could I have done to have been a real help to you as a friend?
Well, I tell you, for me, my friends, they were very helpful by being, you know, empathetic and sympathetic. And I tell you, the other thing was also reminding me to turn to my faith. That's an excellent question, Bill. A childhood friend of mine from New York City who I've known since I was 4 or 5, and he lives up in New York City. I'm down here in Northern Virginia. He came down to visit me when he heard I had a stroke. I mean, and we would talk, but we had not actually seen each other in probably a couple of years. But he heard I had a stroke, and he drove from New York City down to the Washington D.C. area. You know, 5-hour drive. Came down to visit me, spent time with me, and while he was visiting with me, Bill, you know, we went to dinner, and then we went to, I think, a Washington Wizards basketball game. And while we were at the game, I was lamenting my lack of progress and where I was at in my recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just lamenting about the fact that, hey, I probably won't be able to play basketball ever again.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend looked at me, and he said a tough thing. He goes, Mark, first of all, did you ever think about running? Because he's a runner now, a marathon runner, complete the New York City Marathon and a Boston Marathon. He goes, did you ever think about running to replace what you've lost there in terms of playing basketball? And I looked at him. I was like, you know, I really hadn't, but I'm like, you know, that's a good idea. I go, mm-hmm. yeah, maybe I'll do that. The other thing he said to me was very important. He goes, are you familiar with the Serenity Prayer? And I'm like, you know, I'm familiar with it. I know that people with addiction use that prayer a lot. And Bill, he said something in the prayer that was very helpful. He goes, Mark, think about that. The first part of Serenity Prayer. It says, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And I tell you, Bill, that was very helpful to me as I went through this process. To answer your question, I guess friends can be very, certainly in my case, my friends are very helpful by really pointing me back to my faith. And say, Mark, you know, don't abandon your faith. Because what happens is sometimes in life, we know when we hit difficult times, we should turn our faith, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
But I would tell you, and we all know this, when things are difficult, sometimes it's easy to turn away from our faith. And there were times, I'll be honest with you, as I struggled with the recovery, and recovery from a stroke is real. And it keeps coming at you. And I told you that first night it came at me. But Bill, there were two other, I mean, there was multiple times when I was being beat down by the challenges of this recovery. And I was losing my faith. And my friends were very helpful by simply reminding me, don't lose your faith. Don't turn away from your faith. Go back to your faith. And that helped me and it renewed and refreshed my spirit to go back to my faith.
And, Mark, I will say you had quite amazing determination throughout your recovery because I understand you ran a 5K on the one-year anniversary of your stroke.
Yes.
I'm standing up and cheering right now.
Thank you. And that gets back to your other question about how the friends are very, very helpful. So that childhood friend was the one that brought that idea to my head when he came down to visit me. And he came down to visit me. I hadn't gone back to work yet. So this was within months of my two strokes. He came down to visit me and planted an idea in my head. And I decided, you know what, you know, that's a target, that's a goal. I want to try to do that. I can't play basketball, but I'll try to run a 5K. And I tell you, with a lot of work and a lot of help and a lot of blessings and a lot of prayer, I was able to run. Now, how I prepare for that 5K, this is one thing I want to leave with the listeners. You know, I started listening to gospel music literally every day. And as I would prepare to run that 5K, I would load gospel music on my iPod, put on my headset, and listen to gospel music. And it was motivating, invigorating, and lifting, spiritually lifting, and helped me prepare for that 5K.
Okay, Mark, we didn't get anywhere near through what I wanted to get through, so we're going to have you back. If you don't mind, we'll get you back on the show. We want to finish talking about your book. You were an absolute delight. Thank you for getting up and coming on this morning.
Oh, Bill, thank you for your time. I do appreciate it.
Have a great day. 27 minutes after.
God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you. 27 minutes after the hour. We'll be right back.